Good morning. We are on a Thursday morning with our political observer, Alan Shar, talking to all this morning. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
That's right, David. And I'm looking carefully at my outfit that I put on in the dark this morning when I got out, and I don't see any green. I feel very badly.
It's not easy being green.
No, it's not.
Let's go from St. Patrick's Day to the Supreme Court, Alan. We were all witness yesterday to President Obama's selection, Merrick Garland, a centrist appeals court judge. But of course, the Senate Republicans reiterated that they would not consider the president's choice.
Well, look, you know, I watched CNN for a while yesterday, and they're brilliant commentators. You can take that as sarcastic. We're saying that there's no way that this guy's going to be confirmed. However, they did confirm him unanimously for the chief judge's job at the circuit court, and they have all kinds of Republican testimony about what a great judge he is and how he's confirmable if he were put up to the Supreme Court. Well, now they're saying absolutely not. Now, I happen to think this is part of the circular firing squad that the Republicans have now become, because right now it looks like, I mean, if you just take the way that it's going. Right now, the odds are Hillary Clinton is going to be the president of the United States. Now, that may change. It may not be so. But if you're a Republican and you know there'll be two or at least three Supreme Court nominations, why wouldn't you take a balanced, moderate judge as opposed to what you know you're going to get if you don't take that? Now, there are those who suspect that the strategy here is going to be to see who wins the election, and then the Senate will decide whether to confirm or not the president's nomination, so that they would be able to see whether or not they would have to put up with a president who was going to appoint liberal judges. In any case, the American people, by overwhelming numbers, the president mentioned it, I think he said two-thirds, are for following the mandates of the Constitution. They say the president appoints, the Senate says either up or down, they advise and they consent. In this case, they're being very, in my mind, I'm so sorry for using this word, but stupid, because if they say that they are not going to even look at the nominee, they are going against the Constitution. It's that simple, and the American people don't like that. So to me, I think this is a no-win. Now, what's happening, David, is that there are a number of Senate Republican seats that have to be defended. And each of those people are in on it because it's a unanimous decision by the Senate Republicans not to consider the president's choice. So it would appear that they're going to start to see that they're going to lose Senate seats and maybe control of the Senate because of this ridiculous position that they've been taking. So I'm not so sure that the brilliant analysts on CNN and other places who say there's no way this is going to happen are right.
And what about the chances of a contested convention? In the shadows, this headline from the Times, a GOP battle for the loyalty of delegates.
Well, David, the way that this works is that there is a strategy on the part of people like Kasich and before him Rubio, who's now out, and Cruz, that if you deny him the numbers, let's say Trump goes into the convention with overwhelming numbers, but not enough to confirm it. And then it turns out that they are not going to confirm him as their presidential candidate. And as a result of that, they're looking real bad. Now, of course, Trump says there'll be a riot at the convention. But assuming that he's right and that the American people aren't going to like it, and that the Republicans who voted for him aren't going to like it, it's another example of shooting yourself in the arm or the foot.
What's rotten in Denmark? Apparently not much. It's the happiest nation again, Alan, according to the World Happiness Report. But this has a political point to it. A report found that inequality was strongly associated with unhappiness, a stark finding for rich countries like the U.S., where disparities have fueled political discontent.
That's right, David. I think if you are a country where everybody looks and sounds alike and you don't have these disparities, it may well be that the misery index goes down. On the other hand, there are many ways in which these things can be judged. And I'm always extremely concerned when I see one of these indexes and I say, you know, there's a lot more to be said here than we're hearing.
Our political observer, Alan Shartok, joining us. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
And to you, David.